Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 8. Verse 10 to 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. It reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils." Verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Verse 16. "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying all with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Thank you for that. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. I titled the message this morning, be safe, and remain safe. Hallelujah. Be safe and remain safe. There are some people out there with some theory which says that once safe, forever safe. That is not true. That is coming from the pit of hell. That is from the devil. I want to announce to us that it's possible to lose your salvation. It is possible for somebody to lose his salvation. And for that reason, we must make sure at all time that as we are safe, we remain in safety. It is not because you are a safety teacher that you are safe. If you don't put on the whole of the safety equipment, you are exposed to danger. So, church, the picture of our text this morning has to do with military safety. If I could sing a song, I would sing that God got an army. God got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song. Healing in their hands. And you know what? You are the army of the Lord. That is why the picture of our text has to do with the military armories. So the Bible is telling us this morning that we should put on the whole armor of God. For us to go through the Christian journey, we need to stay safe. Because there are many dangers around. It is dangerous around. So for you to go through this Christian journey and do it right and go safe, you need to stay with the safety garments on. You need to put on the whole armor of God. That is an emphasis for us this year. For us to make it through this year 2020, for us to stay safe this year 2020, we have to make sure that every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month of the year, we must stay with the armor of God. Remember, there are people who surrendered their life to Christ before 2019. And in 2019, they went back. They went back. But for us to make it through, we need to stay in his safety. We need to put on his armor. We need to be equipped with his armor. Amen, somebody. So, I want us to proceed as we take on verse 12 of our text. And I want to have this subtitle, Understanding Spiritual Warfare. Understanding spiritual warfare. The Bible says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is a battle going on. There is war. There is spiritual war going on. Whether we believe it or not, or whether you know it or not, it is happening. And you are part of the war. From the day you declare that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior. Because that day when you declare that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior, you turn away from the enemy. And the enemy will not be happy to see you turn away from him. So when you turn away from the enemy, you declare war. You declare war, and the enemy will want to do everything to get you back to his side. So there is spiritual war going on. Brethren, let us be rest assured. Let us have it inculcated in our minds that there is this war going on. And if this war is going on, we need to be able to stand it. We need to be able to go through it without being hurt. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven have been subjected to violence. The kingdom of heaven have been subjected to violence. And violent people have been raiding it. Some translation says, violent people take it by force. We need to be violent. The kingdom of God is suffering violent. And I want us to see like what the scripture is telling us here. It is simply making us to understand that there is war going on. So we need to understand this spiritual warfare. How terrible will it be that you have an enemy step into your camp and is warring with you and you don't know. We need to understand it. And as we understand it, we need to act. And when we act, we will gain success. We will gain victory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the word says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. Do you know what? If this battle we are talking about was physical battle, that you know that that man entering through that door is an enemy, you will be able to rise against him, hold him for battle, and fight. But this battle is a spiritual battle. And for that reason, we have to be conscious about it. So we have to fix our eyes on the unseen. Fix your eyes on the spiritual. Fix your eyes on the spiritual. Fix your eyes on the spiritual. Because the physical is temporal. But the physical and the spiritual will be there forever. So note that we are not in a spiritual battle. I mean, we are not in a physical battle, but in a spiritual battle. So we have to note that. In 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 10, verse 3, the Bible says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Though we live in this world, we don't have to wage war like the world does. Look at, child of God, there is one thing that is happening. Sometimes we tend to fight our neighbors. Sometimes we get so mad. But with our neighbors because of one thing or the other. But I want to tell us, instead of getting mad, instead of being mad with that neighbor, instead of being mad with your friend, instead of being mad with your supervisor, instead of being mad with your boss, understand that he is being manipulated in the spiritual, because the spiritual takes hold of the physical. Everything that happens around you is manipulated in the spiritual. The physical is just a picture of it. Everything has been worked out. It has been designed. It is ongoing in the spiritual realm. That is why the Bible says we do not wrestle against them. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against those principalities, against those powers in high places. Amen, church. We will not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against those principalities and powers. He says, so, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. So God clearly tells us that we are in war. All these scriptures we are reading is making us to understand that we are truly in war. We need to be alert. We are truly in war, not physical, but spiritual. Okay, for example, America, more than 10 years ago, America has been fighting terrorism. Has terrorism ceased? Has it stopped? America has been fighting. Is it the same people who started that terrorism that are still fighting? Most of them have been killed, those who started it. But I want to announce to you that surprisingly, the number has multiplied more than 10. You kill one today, 10 comes up tomorrow. Why can they not cease? Why can they not stop? Terrorism keeps growing and growing and growing. It is because this thing has been It has been prepared in the high places. And the more you try to fight it physically, the more there is the release from the spiritual realm for it to grow. Yes, that is what is going on. So America is fighting. They are doing everything to stop it. But it keeps growing day by day. It keeps multiplying. Back in Africa, some of us know about it, in a country like Nigeria and part of Cameroon, moving up to Chad, there is the Boko Haram. They started just a few of them. Boko Haram means Western education is sin. So they don't want education. They don't want anything Western. But they ride in cars anyway. Yeah. They use guns anyway. But they don't want anything Western. So they stop people from going to school. They are fighting. And the more the government is fighting, America is a big partner with my country in fighting that that terrorist group. But the more they are fighting, they are growing. There are now almost 1 million of them. They keep fighting. So this won't stop. Those terrorists won't stop until the day that the people will understand, turn to God, and begin to fight it in the spiritual. Then we will see it manifest in the physical. Amen. Yes. So, the spiritual, as we said, control the physical. Trying to stop it from the physical is like trying to bring solution to an effect, forgetting the cause. If the cause remains, the problem will always come up. You can try to destroy an apple tree by cutting off all the fruits. Good job. But next year, inasmuch as those roots remain in the ground, that tree will still produce fruits. And the roots here speaks of the spirit, the spiritual realm, the source, the spiritual realm where everything is being manipulated. So let us do everything to get rid in the source, not in the physical. In the spiritual, not in the physical. Okay, in Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name, I like this scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, humble themselves, number two, pray, number three, seek my face, and number four, says, and turn from their wicked ways. He says, then will I hear them from heaven. Hallelujah! God says, then will I hear them from heaven. And when he hears them from heaven, what will he do? I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Oh yes, forgiving their sins, healing of their land is something that will manifest in the physical. But there is one thing that needs to be done, and it's not supposed to be done by God. Is supposed to be done by his people, the people who are called by his name. Are you called by the name of the Lord? From the day you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, you became a born again child of God. Born again child of God. Because the Bible says, unless a man be born again. So those people who are born again, unless a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. So those who are called by the name of the Lord are those who will see his kingdom. So he says, if they will turn from their wicked ways, if they will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek the face of the Lord, he will hear from heaven. He will hear from heaven. I say he will hear from heaven. He will hear from heaven. And what will happen after? He will bring healing. He will bring healing. He will bring healing. He will bring healing. To what? To their land. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish stronghold. Some translation says, the weapon, I love King James. King James says, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Not through you. Not through Satan. Not through any other source, but they are mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. So our weapons are not carnal weapons. They are only mighty because the Lord is there. We can use them and be successful because our God is there. Because we are using them through him, that is why we can use them and be successful. So God tells us in this passage that we have spiritual weapons still, and that there is war. So remember, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 15. I just want to paraphrase it, just the last portion of that scripture. It says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is the Lord. We are too weak for the battle. We are too weak for the battle. We can't stand this battle. But we are strong because the Lord is on our side. The Bible says, if God be for you, can somebody complete it? Then who can be against you? Hallelujah, thank you. If God be for you, then who can be against you? The battle is the Lord. When you study the scripture and you study the principalities and power, when you study the spiritual, you see that even the strongest on earth is not any way strong as much as the weakest in the spiritual. The weakest in the spiritual is too strong for any strong man on earth to stand him. Jesus Christ said, out of all men born by women, John the Baptist is the strongest. But he is not as strong as the weakest in the heavenly places. He is not. And for that reason, this battle is the Lord. This battle which we are fighting, it is the Lord, but God needs to engage us in it. Amen. And for that reason, he makes provision of his armories. He gives his armories to us. He has given them to us. Remember, like a nation like America, with his army, got too many armories. Other nations are afraid of America because they have very high weapons. They are well loaded. A nation like Russia is loaded. They are well equipped. When they stand you for any battle with all the weapons they got, it's hard for you to resist them. The provider, the one who makes provision for all this armor, for all these armories, is the commander-in-chief. And the commander-in-chief here in the United States is the president. The commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Most countries have adopted it. The presidents are the commander-in-chief. But do they put on the armor? Do they go to war? They don't. They stay at the background and let the army go. You and I, who are the army of the Lord, with the Lord being at the commander-in-chief. I say with the Lord being the commander-in-chief, the most powerful commander-in-chief in this whole world, of the God Almighty. He is our own commander-in-chief. So he has provided them. Now we are in the battlefront. He is in heaven watching, waiting to hear good news. Will they carry your corpse back home? Yeah, you may be given some state burial with your corpse carried home. But the commander-in-chief will not be happy. The commander-in-chief wants you back alive. He wants you back alive, so you need to stay safe. He wants you back alive and coming back alive in victory. So we need to stay safe at all time. Remain safe at all time. And for you to remain safe, you need to apply the armories, the armor that has been provided to you. Out there at the war front, when a supervisor sees you not well dressed, not putting on the whole armor, that you are going to that war front without your bullets, even if you're carrying the gun, without your helmet, without all the complete armor, that supervisor will be mad at you. That is why in a church like this, the pastor, who is the supervisor of this army seated here, sees you doing one thing or the other, trying to unclog yourself, trying to take off the breastplate, trying to take off the helmet, he gets mad. He's not happy. He may not tell you he's mad. He may just calmly tell you, hey, brother, what's going on? Let's pray. But he's mad in his spirit. So we need to be fully clothed for the battle that is set before us. We need to put on the whole armor. We need to carry up those armories which has been provided to us by the commander-in-chief himself. He is glad and he is happy when he sees that we are fully equipped, that we are putting everything in place. He is happy. So, upon all this, trying to make us understand the spiritual warfare, trying to make us understand what is happening in the spirit, there is good news. And the good news, which I had mentioned to us, is that God has provided. Verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. You may be able to withstand in the evil days. We need to stand firm. We need to be strong. Evil days will come. There are days of discouragement. I heard somebody said, if not 100%, 99.99% of married people have once regretted for the spouse they got. regretted. They regret that he was not supposed to be the woman they got married to. Those are evil days. When things like that happen, they are evil days. When that temptation for sin comes, the temptation for sexual immorality, when it comes, know that those are evil days. When that temptation comes, when you start thinking that I can become a lesbian, I can become a homosexual, those are evil days. When sin begins to knock at your door, when these things begin to happen and you begin to hear your heart whispering to you, that is sin knocking at the door. Those are evil days. So, put on the whole armor that he may stand these evil days. Put them on. Minus those armor, when those evil days come, you will find yourself going back. And that is why I will still say, some people are backsliding because of that. Some are going away because of that. Because the evil days came, and they were not conscious about it. They gave in to the devil, and they found themselves taken away. That will not be your portion this year, 2020, in Jesus' name. Thank you for that amen. And if you can shout that amen louder, so shall it be for you. That will not be your portion this year, 2020, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. So the whole armor of God, that is what we are talking about. Somebody may be asking the question, the whole armor of God. Say, what are these? What are we talking about? What are these armor? And how can we even apply them? How can they be used? I will try to help us this morning. Amen. I will try to help us. If I can't go through, I will stop. Because of time, I will stop. But get the little I got for you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get the little I got for you this morning. If I can't get it through, I will stop. So there are six armors that has been provided for us by the commander-in-chief. I salute you. He's up there, he's watching. The commander-in-chief has provided six of this armor. The first one, in verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. The truth buckled around your waist. So, when you get the truth around your waist, that holds you tight. You can be ready to fight. You can be prepared for that battle because that truth is tight on your waist. When you look at the way this guy's doing, they call it karate. Is that what they call it? Yes, this guy's doing karate. They'll tie the belt. They will tie that their little garment they have on. They tie it very tight on their waist. And you see they are ready. So, hallelujah. So in this Christian battle, in this Christian journey, for you to be well prepared, the first armor which we are talking about is not as if it's the first one you need to apply, is the belt of truth. Guide your waist with it. Really good. Get ready for the battle. You know what? Satan is the father of all lies. Lies telling is his language. He has no iota of truth that comes from his mouth. So when he talks to you, every time, anytime, when Satan speaks, I want you to first understand that this man is a liar. He's speaking his language. What he's saying is lie. If Satan stands here to minister, he will be, all word will be coming out. Yes, every word that will proceed from his mouth will be lies. That is him. That is his nature. He can't even talk true. He cannot be true for once. But the Bible makes us to understand that there is only one thing I have seen in the Bible that Jesus cannot do. Only one thing. This Jesus who can do everything. The only one thing I have seen in the Word of God that he cannot do is that he cannot lie. Wow. He cannot lie. So, child of God, if lies telling is the language of the devil, are we allowed to lie? Even a little. Are we allowed to lie? We are not. For no reason should you lie. For no reason should I lie. We are not supposed to lie. That is the language. Whenever you find yourself telling lies, know you are speaking the native language of the devil. And if you are not a child of the devil, don't tell me you should understand his language. There is a language I speak. Some of us here may understand because you speak maybe the same tongue with me. If I speak some of that language, none of you here will understand. Okay, let me try. Wojim Lola says you. If you understand me, do it. Thank you. So, I simply said, everybody should stand. And those who heard me got on their feet. So when you begin to speak the language of the devil, it means you understand the devil really good. It means he's your friend. And we, the children of God, can't be friends with the devil. We can't speak his language. If the Lord Jesus Christ cannot do it, it means you cannot do it. It means I cannot do it. So let's refrain. Let's stay away from lies telling. Even if it is just little lie, let's stay away from it. When you look at the man Peter, that man loved Jesus. But what happened to him? He refused the Lord Jesus 3 times. That was lies telling. We have so many Peter in our midst. And child of God, we need to stop this. The belt of truth that is around your waist, when you begin to tell lies, that belt goes off. And when that belt goes off, you are no more active. You are exposed to danger when you are no more active. The next armor which God has provided to us is the breastplate of righteousness. Everybody say the breastplate of righteousness. I want to hear your voice. I did not hear somebody's voice coming from this end. Thank you. The breastplate of righteousness is the second armor which we have in our scripture, in our word, in the word of God this morning. Like the verse 14, which says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So the breastplate here covers the most delicate part of a human being's body. If you receive bullet here, you can make it. But if it comes here, the internal organs will be destroyed. And for that reason, God is concerned with us to get the breastplate of righteousness on. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the breastplate of righteousness, we must affix it. It must be there. Have it there. So this breastplate of righteousness covers the most delicate part of a human being, which is our upper body. And this breastplate, when the enemy shoots his arrow, it will hit on it. When he hits on it, it will not penetrate. That is why there are people in this life whom the enemy cannot deceive. They will never yield to the lies telling of the devil. There are people in this life like that. And you, seated here this morning, with me, put together, are those kind of people we are talking about. Even if you are weak, that you yield to the enemy at all time, this morning, God will strengthen you as we will pray for you. Amen. So the breastplate of righteousness is fixed on us. So this breastplate is defined as righteousness. He said the breastplate of righteousness. You know what the Bible says? He says the Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. If the Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God, then he is our breastplate. He is the breastplate we are talking about. The first armor which we talked about, which is the belt of truth, Jesus Christ is the truth. So we are talking about Jesus Christ. These things are soaked in the Lord Jesus. We need to make sure we put on the Lord Jesus at all time. He is the true armor. That is the armor. He is the true armor. The belt of truth. He is the truth, the way, and the life. The breastplate of righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. We are not righteous. The Bible says our righteousness are like filthy rags before God. As our righteousness are filthy rags before God, but we are made righteous because the Lord Jesus Christ has made us righteous. So the righteousness is found in the Lord Jesus. So we must soak ourselves. We must have ourselves soaked in the Lord Jesus at all time. Amen, child of God. We must have ourselves soaked in the Lord Jesus. So, and this breastplate of righteousness, which we are talking about, can only be given by our Father in heaven. He can only be given by the commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief holds it in his hand. He is the giver of it. No other one deserves it. No other one can get it. But we must put ourselves in a position where we can get it, we can put it on, and we can go with that breastplate. In verse 15 of our text this morning, it says, "And your feet should with the preparation of the gospel of truth." Your feet should with the preparation of the gospel of truth. I'll be rounding up soon. Preaching the gospel out there is part of God's armor. The Bible says, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel unto every creation." So it is a commission. God has commissioned us to go and preach. If you were here during our crossover night, which held from the 31st, 2019, to the 1st, 2020, Brother Paul was preaching and he was encouraging us on soul winning, on evangelism. That is the shoe the word of God is talking to us here about. You need to preach the gospel in every way, in every form. Preach the gospel of Jesus. Is it writing it on your doorpost? Write it. Is it writing it on your car? Write it. On the helmet I walk with, the helmet I put on is written on it, pastor. So when I have that helmet out there on the field, some people say, are you pastor? I say, yeah, I am. Do you need a pastor? I'm advertising the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So we need to preach this gospel. Tell your friends, tell your supervisor, tell your boss, tell your subordinates, tell your co-workers that you are a child of God and that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus satisfies, and if you come to Jesus, you will be saved. So have that shoe on, the shoe of the gospel, have it on. The day you take it off, the day you take it off, it is obvious that you will poke the bottom of your feet. And you may poke it with a nail that has tetanus. And that will be all about life. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Even when you don't know how to preach, preach the gospel. When this man was preaching to us that night, of the crossover, he said he did not even know how to open his Bible. Open your Bible and call. No. He did not even know how to open his Bible. You quote, he will go to the context and he will verify, then go start to open by the page. But he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus and thousands of people turned to Christ. So all you need is the first step. Make a step out there and God will take over. Yeah. It is his work and not yours. All you need to do is to carry that act of faith. Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus and somebody will turn to Christ. And when that person is turned to Christ, there is a crown waiting for you in heaven. How many years have you been in the Lord? How many years since you know the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people have come to know the Lord Jesus through you? It's a challenge. It is a challenge for you and for me. I'm not doing enough. I wish I can do better. I wish I can do better. Look, people like Bonke who has gone home. Look, the great men of God who have gone home, the great heroes who preach the gospel and thousands of people turn to Christ. Tens of thousands of people turn to Christ, if not millions. Then what are we doing for the Lord? Is it only the Lord? Did the word of God only say to the pastors to preach the gospel? Is it only the pastors? No. It is for everybody. So put on that shoe of the good news, the shoe of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take it out there to everyone. Take it to every creature. Take it to people. Tell people about it. Make your identity known to people. Because if you don't make your identity known to people, people will even try to pull you down. People will bring useless suggestion of alcoholism. People will invite you to bars to go drink. I don't mean to go drink and get drunk. You may drink and don't get drunk, but it's wrong for a child of God to drink alcohol. I must be frank to you. You may be mad at it, but it is the truth. I'm speaking the truth, and the truth is Jesus. So I'm speaking Jesus. You take alcohol as a child of God, it is wrong. You smoke cigarette, it's wrong. Stop it. When people begin to take you out prepared for such things, it is because you haven't made your identity clear to them. Make your identity clear to people. Make them know you are a child of God. Make them know you are a born-again child of God. Out there, my colleagues will not say useless words around me. The F words, the S word, the F word, and the S word will not be used around me. Even when somebody mistakenly use it, not knowing that I'm around, and when they discover I'm around, they say, hey, sorry, Pastor. You must make your identity clear. Make it known. Preach the gospel. Don't only make it known, but preach the gospel with all zeal, knowing that that person will turn to the Lord Jesus.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.